Hi. The reading is... The reading was inside of your service sheets, if you want to follow along. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. Ephesians 4, 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captive and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, we thank you for your word that you've given us in the Bible, and we thank you for the presence of your Spirit with us this morning to teach us, to help us understand and apply these things. As a church, we want to be rooted in your word. We want our thinking, our living, and all our plans as a church to be directed by your word. So please, as we look at this passage together now that speaks about who we are as the people of God and what you've called us to, our mission in the world, would you be shaping us, correcting us, leading, directing, and training us so that we might fulfill this calling for your great glory in the world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to... Just kind of summarize what we looked at last week. You may remember we asked a few questions of this passage, so we're going to just skim over that a little bit. Firstly, what is the mission of the church according to Ephesians 4? We saw, and hopefully you heard it as Corin read that passage to us again. The mission of the church according to Ephesians 4 is building up the body of Christ. And I take it that that means building the body in number, as more people come in, but also building up in maturity as we grow toward, as Paul says, the full stature of Christ, becoming in every respect the mature body of him. Let me say, as we think about that as a mission, as our calling, I reckon there are a couple of dangers. One danger is that we could be building Barneys for our own sake. You know, last night was great celebrating Barneys, but I was really pleased at the end of the night that we sang, and we sang a song that says, "All glory be to Christ." And we want to make sure in all our work that we're doing, building up the body of Christ here, we're not doing it for our own sake, we're not doing it so that the name of Barneys will be great and honored and respected. We want to do it for the praise and honor of our Lord Jesus. A related danger to that would be being so invested in building the body of Christ here in Croydon at Barney's that we neglect and exclude other churches and ministries. And we want to recognize that the body of Christ is bigger than us here. Yes, this is the body that we're a part of and have a particular responsibility for, but the body of Christ is bigger than us. It extends throughout the city, throughout the country, indeed throughout the world. And I'm really pleased. One of the sentences in our vision description says this: we are not parochial. What does that mean? Kind of blinkered and just thinking about our parish. It comes from the word parish. We're not just thinking about our patch. We're not parochial in our attitude to ministry, but we celebrate kingdom work no matter where or by whom it is carried out. We joyfully partner with others to grow the gospel and work for justice in our city, and we might add, in our world. And another phrase that I love is where we say, we joyfully send people we love to serve Jesus in other parts of the world. One of the things I'm most thankful for over the last 10 years is that we've sent people out. And as a small church, in a way, that feels kind of stupid. We need people here. We've been small and vulnerable. And yet it's with joy that we've sent people out to serve Jesus in other parts of the world, to build up the body of Christ elsewhere. So that's the what, building up the body of Christ. Then the who is responsible for this mission? And we saw in the passage there are really three people who bear some responsibility. Firstly, Christ. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the one who's promised to build a church, promised that the gates of hell will not stand against his work. And to that end, Jesus gives gifts to each one of his people. Now we're going to go on. So three people: Christ, then ministers of the word, that's the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, but then every Christian. If you remember, and as you heard again, those word ministers, those gospel ministers' job is to equip God's people for works of service so that we're all actively serving in building up the body. So three people responsible. And then we asked how. And this was the diagram that I came up with. For those that weren't here last week, let me try and explain. The diagram is of a body building, and Christ is the head. And you can see that on the right, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, pastor teachers. Christ gives those people with particular gifting to reveal and to teach and proclaim the gospel. And their job is to equip all of us, every member of the body who've received individual gifts from Jesus, to be equipped to use those gifts in order to serve. And in particular, Paul mentions two things: that the body will be built up as each one of us is active in works of service, using our gifts to serve, encourage, and build, and speaking the truth in love. And we saw last week, speaking the truth isn't just about being honest with each other. It's not just about speaking truthfully. It means speaking the truth of the gospel. Speaking that outwardly to the world, so that people might hear and repent and believe and come in, and speaking it inwardly to one another within the church, so that we're built up toward maturity in Christ. As I said last week, if we're going to grow as mature disciples of Jesus, then we need to be involved deeply in a church community like this. Without that involvement in the church, we will be immature, as Paul says in verse 14. Tossed here and there, unstable, undiscerning. So we need one another. I hope you get that. If we want to grow toward maturity, we're not going to do that if we just remain on our own. We need the service and the encouragement of one another. So we need to plunge ourselves into a community where this sort of thing is happening, equipping and serving and speaking the truth in love. We need that input, and we need opportunities for output. So we need to put ourselves in a place where we're receiving the ministry of the words, and where we have opportunities to serve with the gifts that Jesus has given us, and to speak the truth of the gospel to one another. Hopefully that's all revision for those who were here last week. But does that make sense? You've got this picture, the body of Christ working as God has called us to. Today we're going to think about three more questions. And the first one, I think, is raised by the passage. Well, if Jesus has given us all gifts to serve with, well, what are my gifts? And that can be a helpful question to ask. And there are various tools out there, a bit like personality tests. You can do little tests and answer questions, and it spits out, maybe these are your gifts. I find that a really hard question to answer, though. What are my gifts? I wonder if an easier and maybe a more helpful question to ask is, how can I serve? How can I serve? How can I build up the body? What are the opportunities that I have? What are the ways that I feel kind of passionate and have a heart in order to serve others, to build them up? Earlier in Ephesians, Paul talks about the fact that we're not saved by our good works, but we have been saved in order to do good works, the good works that God's created in advance and prepared for us to do. And I take it that means there are kind of personal, unique, good works that God's prepared for each one of us to do. That's not limited to service in the church, but it certainly includes it. So what are the good works that God's prepared for you? What are the ways that you can serve? What are the ways that you can build up the body here at Barney's and beyond? I'm going to get you to discuss that together for 30 seconds. You could talk generally. What are some ways that we could all be active in building up the body? Or you might think more personally, what are the ways that I feel I can serve and build up the body? I know I hate it as well, but if you're willing, turn to your neighbor or in threes or fours and discuss that for 30 seconds. All right, hopefully that was helpful. Continue talking about that afterwards. Wouldn't it be good if after the church service, rather than only asking about, what's been happening this weekend, we talked about what God's been teaching us in his word? That would be good. But I wonder what you came up with. Here are some ideas from me. If part of building the body is through bringing people in, then those pebbles rhythms would be ways that we can serve and build up the body. Praying, blessing, listening, eating, Sabbathing, speaking. But other things, and maybe particularly building up the body here, speaking, looking inwardly. Did you come up with praying for others? People are cringing. Oh no, I didn't mention prayer. That would be good, wouldn't it? It's God's work. Jesus is the one who builds his church. So bringing one another to the Lord, bringing each other's needs, praying. And then maybe telling people that you're praying for them. That will be super encouraging. Praying with others in the church. Remember our termly prayer nights? Personally, I find that one of the most encouraging things in the life of the church, when we join together and humbly bring the needs of our church to God, to the one who can do immeasurably more than we ask. So praying for others, praying with others, giving the gift of time. Can I take you out for coffee and just listen to someone, hear their story, hear what's going on for them? That's super encouraging. Sending someone an encouraging message. I wanted to thank you, Johnny, for leading the prayers this morning. That was really helpful. Or just sending a message that you're thinking and praying for someone, sharing a Bible verse. Thought this might be helpful to you this week. It also includes the kind of formal ministry teams that we have. We can serve using our gifts through welcoming, through helping in the kitchen, through music and kids ministry, through leading prayers, through even the clear-up ministry. Thanks to those who do that. Then there are other practical ways like that. Trang, serve so servant-heartedly as our treasurer, or Holly as our safe ministry coordinator, or James and Ian serving around the property, or Tess as our administrator. They're all enabling the church to function in a healthy way, aren't they? And then there are all sorts of practical acts of service that we can do to build up one another: hospitality, babysitting, providing a meal or a batch of cookies. And then, finally, there's just the power of turning up, isn't there? Being regular on Sundays or in our GC and DNA. That will help build you up, put you in a space where you can be fed and encouraged. But it's also a significant encouragement to others. You know, we all know what it feels like to be part of a group that others are not committed to, and how kind of discouraging that can be. But when we turn up, when we're regular in our attendance, we're saying to each other, this is important. This matters. I'm sure you came up with lots of other ideas. Do keep sharing those. But let's move on to our next question. From what are my gifts and how can I serve, to how can I receive? How can I get that input? Make sure I'm receiving the ministry of the word. And I think a helpful cross-reference here is 2 Timothy 3, 16-17, which speaks about what scripture is and what it does for us. So Paul says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful. What's it useful for? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's interesting, isn't it? If the role of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers is to equip, well, they're going to need to use the scriptures, aren't they? Because the scriptures are useful in equipping for every good work. And it's worth thinking about those four verbs: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. John Stott says in relation to this passage, the scriptures are useful both for creed and conduct. We might say they're useful for believing and behaving. The Bible's really useful. It's vital for our believing, teaching us the truth about God and what he's done, and correcting us where we're believing something that isn't true. And the Bible is useful for our behaving. It rebukes us. It convicts us. It shows us our sin. It leads us in repentance. And it trains us positively in righteousness, showing us how to be godly students and parents and workers and friends, and actually equipping us, changing us to live that out. And so, do you have that ministry of the word in your life? Is the Bible teaching you and correcting you in your belief? Is the Bible rebuking you and training you in your behavior? There are many ways to engage with God's word: through reading, listening to it for ourselves, through memorizing it, meditating on it, through hearing it preached and taught, through studying and applying it with others, through Christian books or podcasts, through Bible college lectures. Lots of different ways we can engage with God's word. As you look to the year ahead, how are you going to ensure that you're putting yourself in a place where you can receive the ministry of God's word in these different varied ways? So you're being taught, corrected, rebuked, trained. Something to think through as you put together your personal discipleship plans. Thirdly, how can I speak the truth in love? The primary way that we build up the body, according to this passage, as well as all those different ways that we can serve with our gifts, the primary way that Paul focuses on is through speaking the truth in love. That is something we're all called to do, something we all need to be equipped to do. And that's something we want to give particular focus to in the coming year. How can I and the other leaders here at Barney's better equip us all for this ministry of speaking the truth of the gospel in love to one another? How can you all ensure that you're being equipped and growing in this ministry? Speaking the truth of the gospel is something that we do outwardly, as I said, to the world, also inwardly to the church. So we speak outwardly in evangelism, and that's been our focus, as I said earlier, over this last year. But as I said a few times through the year, we're not going to park evangelism at the end of this year. I said, you know, if you were thinking, if I just keep my head down for this year, then maybe we'll get back to normal and I won't have to engage in evangelism. Sorry to disappoint you. We want to keep evangelism as a focus for us as the church. Looking at the passage again, it's interesting, isn't it, that Paul mentions apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers, and their job is to equip God's people. Now, that's interesting when you think about evangelists, isn't it? We often think evangelists are people whose job is to share the gospel with unbelievers, and I take it that is part of their role. Evangelists are people particularly gifted in explaining, sharing, proclaiming the gospel to unbelievers. But here, Paul says their job is to equip God's people. And I take it they're equipping God's people for evangelism. So as well as sharing the gospel themselves, they're equipping all of us to do that. Now, I don't think I'm a particularly gifted evangelist. But Paul says to Timothy, as a pastor, he says to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. So maybe Timothy wasn't an evangelist either, but Paul is saying, you do the work of an evangelist, which maybe includes sharing the gospel with unbelievers himself, but also equipping the people that he's pastoring to do that as well. So I think part of my role currently is to try and equip all of us for this work, to share the gospel with unbelievers. I think Barneys would benefit from having a more gifted evangelist. And you might pray with me that God would provide someone for that. So we speak the gospel outwardly to the world, but also inwardly to the church. And again, this isn't just talking about being honest. It's about speaking the truth of the gospel, the truth about Jesus. If our goal is to grow up toward unity in the faith, unity in our knowledge of Jesus, then we need to be speaking about the faith, don't we? The gospel. We need to be speaking about Jesus. If our goal is to grow up toward maturity, becoming who we are as the body of Christ, then we need to be speaking about who we are, our identity, don't we? So what does that look like, to speak the truth of the gospel? Let me give you three categories, three conversation topics, if you like, if you want to be having gospel conversations. And for those here today, maybe you're someone who's still exploring the Christian faith. What is the heart of that faith? What is the gospel message? Maybe this will give you some idea. So three ways we can speak the truth of the gospel to one another. Firstly, we want to be speaking about who God is. He's loving, and he's faithful, and he's holy. He's with us, and he's for us. We talk about these four great truths about God, and each one comes with an implication. So God is great. In other words, he's sovereign. And therefore, we don't have to be in control. And God is glorious. He's the weighty one whose opinion matters more than anyone else's. And so we don't have to fear others and what they think of us or say about us. And God is good. He's beautiful. He's desirable. So we don't have to look elsewhere for satisfaction. And God is gracious. He accepts us. He pardons us. Not on the basis of our performance, but on the basis of what Jesus has done for us. And so we don't have to prove ourselves. There's nothing left to prove. That's one way we can speak the truth to one another, the truth of who God is. I mean, it can be as simple as just saying, Henry, remember, God is good. Corin, remember, God's great. You don't have to be in control. And it'll be great if we can speak those truths in a way that's kind of particular to whatever the other person is going through in their life. But in a sense, it doesn't matter. It's all good. Second conversation topic might be about what God has done and is doing, particularly in Jesus. Jesus lived the life we could never live. He's lived it for us. And he's died the death that we deserve to die. He died for sins once for all. And Jesus rose again, victory over death. He's blazed a trail to glory. And Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit and gifts for us to serve. And Jesus is right now, today, reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus is returning. He will one day come again to make all things new. We say it in our communion prayers. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. That's another way we can speak the truth to one another. Remind and encourage each other about what God has done, who Jesus is, what he's done for us. The third way would be to speak about who we are as God's people. What is our gospel identity? Well, we're forgiven and we're accepted. We're justified and we're being sanctified. We're chosen, as Paul says right at the beginning of Ephesians. We're adopted. We're children of God, loved by the Father. We're brothers and sisters to one another. We're disciples. We're followers, servants of the King. We're missionaries, empowered by the Spirit. We're witnesses to Jesus. That's another way we can encourage each other. Speak the truth. Remember who you are. Remember you're a beloved child. You've been adopted. You're wanted. You've been chosen. So let me say a bit about our plans then for the next year. Our focus, as hopefully you've picked up, is on bodybuilding. If last year was everyday mission, next year, bodybuilding. We want to put Ephesians 4 into practice, equipping, serving, speaking. Particularly in term one, we want to give attention to some gospel basics. We want to kind of bring everyone along so that we're clear on what is the gospel and how does the gospel work in our lives. How can we do this work of speaking the truth of the gospel into each other's lives in the most helpful way? So we're going to preach through Ephesians, which is a great book about the gospel, who God is, what he's done, but also about who we are as the church and how we're called to live. We'll also have some topical preaching in term one on gospel basics. We'll think about how God has saved us from the penalty of sin, how he is saving us from the power of sin, how he will save us one day from the very presence of sin. And we'll also look at those four great truths about God, how he's great and glorious and good and gracious, and think about how they apply into the everyday stuff of life. Church camp next year is going to be a bit earlier than previous years. It's in the middle of March. Now, hopefully you've all got a copy of the calendar for next year, so you might want to look at that. I think it's church camp. Is it 16th, 17th, that sort of time? 14th to the 16th, thanks. So that's church camp. And on church camp next year, we're going to be back at Port Hughes, where we've been the last few years. Might be a bit warmer. But in terms of teaching, we're going to be thinking about how does the gospel work in actually addressing our hearts. Some of you will be familiar with the language of fruit to root. If you're not, don't worry. But we'll be pressing into that and how we can use it in our DNA groups to nurture and encourage one another in the gospel. And all of that, particularly term one, kind of laying a gospel foundation, you know, trying to bring everyone on board so we're really clear on some gospel basics. That's all connected to one of our three-year milestones, where we say spiritual rhythms and gospel fluency will be well understood and increasingly practiced. Every member will know what their next steps are to grow. I love the phrase gospel fluency. It describes this ability to speak the truth of the gospel in a natural, clear, relevant way. In terms of the rest of our preaching program, in the middle of the year, we're going to have a 3-week series on work. What does the Bible say about work? How can we think biblically about the work that we do day to day, both inside and outside the home? What does it mean to be a Christian lawyer, a Christian physio, a Christian engineer, a Christian mechanic or homemaker? I think we often have a limited view of what it means to be a Christian worker. Often it's limited to, well, I need to be honest and hardworking and a good witness to my colleagues. But what about the actual work that I do? How can I serve Jesus in the work of meeting clients, making spreadsheets, you know, treating injuries, fixing cars, folding laundry? What does that look like? I'm pretty excited about that one. That's an area where I need to grow in my own thinking, and I'm excited about growing together in integrating our faith and our work. So, and that'll be one way that we can work towards this 3-year milestone, where we've said every member will be able to articulate their God-given identity and calling and will be equipped and supported to serve and witness to Jesus in every sphere of life. So God-given identity, that's primarily those things we're talking about, who we are, adopted, forgiven, we're children of God, we're servants, we're missionaries. But also, beyond that, our calling includes those specific good works that God's prepared for us to do. That's going to include stuff we do in the church, but also the things that we do in our day-to-day life. What does it mean for me to serve Jesus in my vocation? How can I be equipped to do that better? It's worth mentioning our other 2 3-year milestones. So the next one says we will be implementing a viable plan to develop the use of the church site to serve the needs of our growing congregation, including the possibility of a cry room. In terms of building stuff, our first priority is restoring the roof of this building. And so we need to make a plan for how we're going to tackle that one. Once that is done, then we can get to the more exciting stuff of developing the church sites, upgrading our toilets, putting in a few more, building a kind of larger commercial-grade kitchen, possibly building a cry room and a more welcoming entrance foyer. Those are all ideas. Finally, fourth 3-year milestone says this. So this is, again, like end of 2026. That's the kind of 3-year milestone mark. Barney's will be a church of 60 adults with 5 spiritually refreshing and missionally minded gospel communities. We'll be making plans to establish a new congregation. 60 adults. We're making pretty good progress toward that. 5 gospel communities. We currently have 2. We need to be intentional about starting a new gospel community this year. New congregation. Some discussions are taking place. We're exploring the possibility of doing somewhere else something similar to what was done here at Barney's 10 years ago. Nothing is decided at all. I will share more in due time. All right. Just quickly on the rest of the calendar that you've got in front of you. You'll see, if you look through, we haven't got as many one-off things as last year. So we're not doing the March drama this year. We're not doing Food for Thought. Probably other one-offs that we had over this year. This year felt full, busy, too busy. So we tried to cut back. And instead, we want to be giving attention to just working well in our regular patterns of Sunday worship, gospel communities, DNA groups. You'll see that we're planning to run the Taste and See course again. At this stage, planning to do that in both Term 2 and Term 3. We'll see what interest there is. That will be less work than it was this year because we've done it once, got everything prepared, we've put all the materials, and it was so positive, and there were people keen to do it. So that's the plan. As I said, get the church camp in your diary. If you want all these dates in your diary and you have a Google Calendar, send Kate a message or let me know, and we can just send you the calendar because it's all in there already, and then it will just automatically appear in your own personal Google Calendar. Keep those Taste and See courses in your mind and in your prayers. So first one in Term 2, that's a fair way off, but you could be thinking now about, you know, who's someone I'm in contact with who maybe in 6 months' time, it's not quite 6 months, is it? But I could invite to come along to that. Invite them to Christmas. That's an easy invite. If you're a man, invite them to the Cooper's event. Maybe they'll come to one of the events at Easter, and then following that, come to Taste and See. A final word. You've been very patient. A final word on our PDPs, personal discipleship plans. In a way, these are similar to our church vision. As well as having a particular focus as a church for the year ahead, we want to have a focus as individuals. And these PDPs give us the opportunity to do that. We want to be intentional about growing as disciples of Jesus. And you might want to think specifically about making sure that you have that input and output. How are you going to ensure that you're receiving the ministry of the words and you're having opportunities to serve and to speak? So in the PDPs, we've suggested you set three personal goals for growth over the next 12 months and then one priority action for the term so that you can be making progress towards that. And that's only going to be beneficial if you build in a regular review of that plan. And what we want to try and make sure this year is that each term in our DNA groups, we're using one of those sessions to stop, to review the last term, check in on progress made, and make new plans for the term ahead. And so, yes, if you haven't completed your PDP yet, get on it. And the hope is in the next couple of weeks in DNA groups, we'll go through those. Any questions on that, come and see me or Kate afterwards. Any questions now on any of that? Plans for next year? The details of Ephesians 4? Anything else? Or comments? I'm open to that too. It's great. Thanks, Moya. Oh, no. If you're already on the Google Calendar, then these dates are not there yet. If they're not, they will be soon. I'll check on that. Thank you. Great. Can I pray for us? And then we're going to sing a final song. I might get the band to come up as I pray. Father, as we prayed at the start, we want to be a church that's rooted in your word and directed and shaped by your words. I want all our plans to be according to the scriptures and in line with your vision for the church. And so we pray that you will lead us, you'll go before us, you'll change plans that need to be changed. And ultimately, Lord, you'll work out your sovereign will for us. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you that it's such good news, this message of who you are and what you've done and who we now are in Jesus. And we pray that you'd grow us as a church that is seeing those truths of the gospel applied into our lives. Would you upskill us and equip us to be able to speak gospel truth to one another and outward to the world. Please, would you continue to be faithful and kind to us as a church community. Please, would you grow us. Would we see over the coming year more people become followers of Jesus and all of us grow as followers of Jesus. And we pray all these things in his name and for his glory. Amen.